needed the warmth, but the light was helpful now that darkness had fallen on the eastern coast of the Sudan.
"How are you feeling?"
Oryx asked from the center of the room. Gentry looked up to see him standing, facing away, and relieving himself with the aid of his free hand.
"The back feels better. The rest of me feels great."
Court smiled at his own humor.
"Your phone keeps ringing."
"Yeah," said Court. "I'll need to call them back in a bit. In a couple of hours, I'll be hauling your ass to the coast. In a day or two, you'll be locked up."
Court smiled at him.
"I guess you figured killing 400,000 of your countrymen wouldn't have a downside, huh?"
"You have killed more people today than I have, friend."
"We're not friends."
Oryx sat back down and wiped his face, smearing the sheen of sweat across his forehead. The soft firelight danced over his ebony features in the reflection of the dampness.
"I think we are more than friends. We are almost brothers."
"You need to take a look in a mirror."
"I mean, our sensibilities are similar, as is our chosen course of action. We both kill, and we both have decided that it does not bother us to do so."
"You've all but eradicated a people. You and I are not..."
"So then it's not the act of killing that bothers you. It's merely the scale of the killing. But I could counter-argue that what I do through political policy, not with my own hands. I think it takes more cruelty to kill a man face to face than a people via laws and declarations of war. You are the more dangerous man here. Just think how many people you would kill if you ran a nation, an intelligence service. You would slaughter everyone you were against."
Bakri Ali Aboud, president of Sudan, leaned very close now, his head just above the burning wood, the sheen of sweat glowing across his face.
"Just like me, brother," he smiled. "You and I, Mr. Six, are the same thing. Eradicators of the debris of humanity."
Oryx let the phrase hang in darkness a moment.
"Only I am better at it than you, so I am deemed more evil than you. Interesting how one's perspective commands one's concept of right and wrong."
Gentry stoked the fire with a long stick. He recognized that it was the opiate in him causing him to continue the conversation.
"You were better than me. But the party is over. You'll be locked up for the rest of your life."
Oryx smiled again. Court eyed him in the firelight.
"You don't seem so worried about spending the rest of your days behind bars."
"Oh, if that were truly going to be my fate, I would be extremely disturbed, I can assure you. But I will not spend the rest of my days behind bars."
"Not if I change my mind and shoot your ass right here."
President Aboud laughed, low and rhythmic.
"I don't know if you can operate your weapon in your present condition."
"Try me."
"No, no."
Oryx waved his hand.
"I am happy to have you for an escort to Europe."
"To prison," Court said.
"Oh, for a few months. I'm sure you're right. But offers have been extended to me, offers that I have refused until now, that will allow me to seek exile in any one of many third-party nations. The Ivory Coast is close to home, but at the moment I am leaning towards a certain Caribbean island that has been suggested. I enjoy the occasional cigar, though I pray you do not tell my wives."
Court sat up straight, still Indian style, against the wall of the shack.
"Bullshit."
"Diplomacy,"
answered Bakri Ali Aboud with a smile.
"The Europeans are going to let you walk?"
The president shook his head slowly. He exposed his teeth in a smile.
"Not just the Europeans, the Americans too."
Gentry was gobsmacked. He knew he was way too fucked up to evaluate the micro-expressions set off by the president's limbic system to check for clues of deception, but the bastard unquestionably seemed sure of himself. Aboud's smile remained, but through it, he said in an exaggerated American accent,
"As you said before, nobody tells you nothing, eh, Mr. Six?"
"Why?"
Gentry's voice cracked.
"For the good of the world,"
Aboud chuckled again.
What do you think would happen if I were assassinated in my hometown by SLA rebels? A civil war 10 times larger than what we have now, except this would be worse. China wants their oil, so they will back my successor just as they did me. But Russia will support a military coup of the civilian successorship, and they will aid our neighbors to the west. Chad will invade, take North Darfur, and hand the bulk of the oil there to the Russians as payment. The IDP camps will be threatened, and UNAMID will be forced out, since the original agreement was with me and not with the government of Chad. China will push my successor towards a total war with Chad to retake Tract 12A, and my successor is, fundamentally, a weak man. He will submit to their will in ways that I would never agree with. China can own him with weapons and power and money. 1 year after I'm gone, East Africa will be the center of a superpower conflict. Tens of thousands will be dead, another million uprooted. But won't kidnapping you have the same effect? There will be short-term chaos, but I will agree to terms that have been offered to me in secret for 3 years now. If I reveal details of Russia's illegalities here in the Sudan, if I tell my followers, directly and forcefully, that the Russians are prepared to fan the flames of war against us, then there will be no Russian influence on the citizenry, and consequently, no civil war. If there is no civil war, then it is doubtful that Chad would invade. I can even let it be known that China was involved in my kidnapping. This will hurt Chinese interests in the region and return the minerals of the Sudan to the Sudanese.
China had nothing to do with this kidnapping. Abood shrugged.
My followers will believe me. There is evidence to back me up as well. Chinese special forces have been secretly training my troops in Port Sudan to provide security to Tract 12A along the Chad border. China has known good and well that Russia covets their oil, and they knew that Russia wanted me dead. I can convince the Sudanese people that China and I had a disagreement, so they decided to get me out of the picture by trading me away.
That's brilliant, Court said. It sickened him to say so.
Thank your co-workers. This was all part of a CIA plot, a plot to get me to voluntarily turn myself into the ICC. As I said, I turned their offer of exile down.
He shrugged his shoulders good-naturedly.
So here you are to enforce the offer.
So you are more beneficial alive than dead. Abood shrugged.
Apparently so. You get me out of here alive, and I will play my part. As you said early this morning in Swakin, you and I are on the same team. Only, you did not know the truth of that statement.
The Thorea phone rang. Chapter 44.
Hey, Zach. You back with us, or are you still high as giraffe nuts?
I'm good to go. Sorry about before. I was hurting pretty bad and accidentally pulled the wrong dosage of...
Forget it. We've got a problem. This whole op just went tits up.
What happened?
Langley says we greased some chinks.
Say again?
We killed some Chinese guys.
Court thought back to what Oryx had just told him.
Combatants? No doubt, but apparently that's still a no-no.
Court knew who they were. Special forces here training the Sudanese up in Port Sudan.
Yeah, that's what Denny thinks. Probably from their Flying Dragon unit. Sudan Station didn't even know they were in country.
Shit, Zach, how bad is it?
It's not good, from the sound of it. Langley is dealing with the White House right now. The White House didn't sign on for a dust-up with a superpower.
Court rubbed sweat from his eyes. The wound in his back was better from the meds, though it still stung.
How many Chinese did you guys kill? Close to 30, apparently. We're guessing that MI-17 Dan shot down was full of troops and a flight crew.
That would account for that number of KIA.
But seriously, BFD, aren't there like 2 billion chinks? It's not like they'll miss them.
Dan didn't, apparently.
Yeah, no shit.
What's the fallout going to be on this?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I am to reestablish comms with Denny and 30 mics. Worst case, we bug out.
With Abood, you mean?
Let's just wait till we hear back.
Roger that. Six out.
Zack called back just after 9 in the evening. Court had spent the last 45 minutes talking to Oryx about the offer he'd received from the West. He seemed willing to do whatever he had to do to stay out of prison and to make his way to Cuba as a free man. It was sickening, but Court understood that it was unquestionably the best of a long list of shitty outcomes. Zack said,
Six, I need you to get far enough away from Oryx to where he can't hear your side of this conversation.
Copy that, wait one.
Court looked at Oryx, still shackled to the center beam of the shack, turned, and left the tiny hooch. Outside, in the cooling evening, he lowered onto his haunches and sat down at the rear bumper of the Škoda.
Okay, I'm alone.
I've got a big-time change to your op order, Six. You ready for this?
Affirmative, go ahead.
Zack paused, then.
The Chinese are saying that this morning's engagement in Suakin killed 26 non-combatant civilian advisors.
Bullshit, they weren't civilians.
Of course not. They're lying through their noodle slurping teeth, but they can do that, and everyone will believe them.
Go on.
The White House has officially shit their britches. They want nothing more to do with this operation. Seems they have been working secretly on some big-ass trade deal with the Chinks. We're going to announce it next month in Beijing.
So?
So the White House has ordered the Director of National Intelligence to order Denny to order us to exfiltrate immediately. Just drop all our shit and go. They do not want CIA fingerprints anywhere near the Sudan operation for fear it would jeopardize the deal.
What about me?
I'm going to pick you up in the sub. I can be at the mangrove swamp at midnight. Can you make it by then, or do you need to go on another bender with your party drugs?
I can be there, but what's all this going to do to Nocturne Sapphire?
There is no Nocturne Sapphire, and we all need to forget that there ever was. The rug's been pulled out from under us. We just need to get out of Sudanese waters, get down to Eritrea, and not get compromised. Sudan Station will dump all the blame for this on the SLA.
Court looked out at the grasses blowing in the evening breeze.
But what the hell am I supposed to do with Abood?
Give the fucker a dirt nap,
Zack said flatly. Court hesitated.
But he's the one that can convince his people what the Russians are up to.
We're not supposed to be here. There is no way we can hand Abood over to the ICC now. Think about it. If we hand Abood over to the Euros, the Chinese communists will get wind of it, and the Chi-Coms will pull out of the deal.
But Abood is more important alive than dead. Isn't that what the White House has been thinking all along?
Yeah, but the knockdown of the Chinese chopper was a game changer.
Court shook his head in disbelief.
It's a trade agreement. What is one trade deal in the scheme of things?
It makes the politicians look good.
So would ending an African genocide.
Not by risking a superpower war. The average Joe in the USA does not want to hear about us shooting it out with the Chinese over some dumb savages living in mud huts.
The Chinese aren't going to go to war over this.
What are you, a fucking poli-sci PhD now? You are an operator, not a diplomat. The dips have their job and you have yours. Abood needs to die. Kill the fuck. That's an order.
But Gentry would not let it go.
The only way to stop what is going to happen is with Abood alive, in front of a camera, laying out to his people the involvement of the Russians and Chinese in his country's internal affairs. That was the original motivation behind Nocturne Sapphire, because that is the only thing that will work. It can't be done any other way.
Well, that's not going to happen. You're going to cap him and get your ass to the northern tip of the mangrove swamp for the exfil.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I thought you'd be happy to dump some hollow points into that bastard snot box.
Come on, Zack. We extract Abood from here, get him to The Hague, and we can stop a war.
It's not our job to stop a war. It's our job to do our job. And our job is to waste Abood, dump his corpse by the side of the road, and then get our happy asses out of here.
Court's jaw tightened, and he leaned his head back on the rear bumper of the Škoda sedan.
I need to think it over.
Think it over? Who the fuck do you think you are?
You do what...
I'll call you back. Six out. Court ended the call. He dropped the phone to the grass and dropped his head into his hands.
Damn it.
Court knew he could stand up right now, walk back into the shack, and put a 9mm bullet into the head of the President of the Republic of Sudan without a single shred of remorse for the act. The man was a monster, certifiable and dangerous.
Go kill him. Just get up and go kill him.
But he understood the logic that Oryx's power could now be turned back against the atrocities and used for good. Yeah, it was complete and utter bullshit that down the road he'd get the last laugh. He'd be banging hookers in Havana after a lifetime of murder and corruption. But hell, Court thought, that's a problem for another day. Gentry himself could go to Cuba on his own dime and settle that score. He'd kill Abood for his crimes, but not until the impending chaos of a post-Abood Sudan was minimized. And that could only happen with Abood alive. Court had been played by the Russians, lied to and manipulated to where he almost helped start a war, and now, he realized, killing Oryx would mean he'd been played by Langley into the same thing. No, he would not kill Abood, could not. He would bring him to the International Criminal Court to stop one war and prevent another. It would no doubt get the shoot-on-sight sanction reinstated, but it was the only hope for thousands of innocent Sudanese. Court put his head between his knees and covered it with his hands. He realized he wanted to storm back into the shack not to shoot Abood, but instead to shoot himself up with more of the morphine. Its effects were wearing off quickly, with the struggle to concentrate obviated by the events of the past 10 minutes. Court picked up the Thorea and called Zack back. Hightower answered immediately. Court knew he must have been furious, but he masked it well. You back with the program, bro? A long pause. No can do, Zack. Court felt the tension on the other end of the line. He'd never defied Zack Hightower a single time in their 5 years together on the Goon Squad until, of course, that day when it all went to hell. Finally, Zack spoke. His voice was light, but the menace was more than implied. Look, kid, I've already lost a couple of really good guys today. I don't want to lose you, too. Let's make lemonade from lemons here. Shoot that asshole, get yourself to where I can come pick you up, and you and me will sail off into the sunset. Langley will drop the SOS, we'll get debriefed, we'll shit, shave, and shower. And inside of 72 hours, we'll be tossing back 2-for-1 Budweisers at a lobby bar in Bethesda. One for us and one for our homies. Cool? As awesome as that sounds, Zack, it's not going to happen. I'll go it alone if I have to, but I'm getting Abood to the ICC alive. Anger welled in Zack Hightower's voice, as if every word served as a demonstration as to how his frustration grew exponentially.
How the hell are you going to do that? You got a boat, a plane, an army?
A pregnant pause. A quiet negative.
No, you don't, do you? I'll tell you what you do have. You have a hole in your back that stinks so bad it could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. That's what you have. You need a doctor a lot more than you need some fucked up one-man crusade to save the most hated man on God's green earth. I know you think of yourself as the fucking Lone Ranger, but you're on a fool's errand if there ever was one. From where I'm sitting, you need 4 things to accomplish your objective. You need guys, guns, gear, and guts. Court, you got the guts, I'll give you that. But you are sorely lacking in every one of the other categories. No singleton operator is going to get that fucker out of the Sudan. You've got the Sudanese army, the NSS, the Abdul Q public on your tail. Everyone is looking for their president and trying to smoke the guy who snatched him. You really want to cross me on top of that?
You're going to come after me?
Without hesitation, Hightower said, Yes, I am. I swear to God, if you don't cap Oryx right this second, I'm going to report it to Denny, and you and I both know he'll send me after you. Neither of us wants that to happen, Court.
Another long pause. See you, Zack.
A pause again, this time on Hightower's end of the conversation. Then,
No, Gentry, I'll see you right through the scope of my Remington 700. Just before your head turns to pink mist. We wanted to make you part of the team again, but you know what? You've been solo for too long. You never were going to fit in, dude. Guess it's inevitable that it had to end like this.
Zack ended the call. Court rose from his position of the past hour, against the bumper of the car. Slowly he stepped back into the shack. Oryx was there, of course, standing in the middle of the dark room. It was clear he had not overheard the specifics of the phone conversation, but certainly he'd picked up some of the tone.
What is going on?
Nothing. We need to move. Court had given the location of the shack to the CIA operators on the Hanna. He knew he needed to get out of here before Zack or someone else came calling.
Tell me, Six, what was all the arguing?
Court cut the president's zip tie from the center beam with a small folding knife. He said nothing to the man as he closed the blade and slipped it back into his pocket.
What is happening?
Abood was extremely agitated. Court imagined he himself would be even more stressed out right now but for the remnants of the drugs in his system. He wondered how much it affected him. Would he be able to drive? Would he be able to find a new hide without stumbling into all the people who were searching